Happy New Year and welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is Pastor Deary. As we begin this new year, we start a new series titled New Year, New Me. In today's message, we deal with what it means to be a new creation in Christ and the purpose that it reveals for the life of every believer. Listen in, take notes, and I'll talk with you at the end of the broadcast.
Y'all want the good news or the bad news first? I wonder which one do y'all want? Y'all want the good news first or the bad news first? Y'all undecided here. I'm going to give you the bad news first. We want to end on the good news, right? Here's the bad news. The bad news is that this year coming up, 2018, you are not going to get everything you want. I got some more bad news for y'all. 2018, there ain't going to be world peace. Amen. It's not finna happen. You want some more bad news? In 2018, all your dreams are not going to come true. But y'all weren't surprised about that, are you?
No.
So then we don't have nothing to worry about going into the next year. Amen? Amen? We don't have nothing to worry about because every year has the same characteristics. Amen. There's bitter and there's sweet. Yes. And we have to determine where we're going to put our attention. Right. Are we going to put our attention on the bitter or are we going to put our attention on the sweet? That choice belongs to us. And I have a prophetic word for you. You ready for it? 2018, you get to control where you put your focus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
2018, you get to put your focus where you want it to be. Amen. So what we're going to do today, we're going to begin with the fact of you need to think about it's going to be a new year. Is it going to be a new you? A new year, a new me. I made a decision that next year is going to be a new me. And here's what happens to everybody. New Year's Eve, we have been sitting around thinking about all the things we want to change. And we meditate hard on all the things we want to be different next year. What's going to be different? Man, I want this to be different next year. Oh, next year's my year because I'm going to do all these things. Every year we come to the same point and we come right back to that same spot. And we right then start making all those decisions. And guess what? Some things you are going to do. Some things you are not going to do. How many of y'all have ever bought a gym membership in the month of January? Do not raise your hand. How many of y'all that bought that gym membership in January stopped going to gym by February? Because we have good intention in the heart. And in the mind, we know what maybe we need to do. But somewhere in between the heart and the mind and the actions, there's a disconnection. There's a missing piece. How many of y'all said to yourself one December, next year, I'm gonna make all this money. I'm starting a new business and I'm doing this. Next year, I'm gonna be this. Don't raise your hand. Because we know that there's more, but we haven't done it yet. And we want to do it. But here's the problem for all of those good intentions that we have. Those good intentions always get met by the fact that you are not created to dwell on your thoughts. You're created to live by purpose. And where purpose is not known, according to Miles Monroe, abuse is inevitable. When you don't know the purpose of a thing, you will abuse it. You won't use it properly. And abuse, don't think about abuse in our modern terms. Just think about abuse in its actual form of what the word means. To use something inappropriately. That's what abuse is. And when you don't know the purpose of a thing, you abuse it because you don't know how to use it. Amen? Amen. Now, we have intentions or things that we plan for the year, things we want to do, things we want to be different. But if you don't know your purpose, you will allow the world system to dictate what those things are. I remember I was 21 years old. And I said, man, you know what? I'm getting me a Porsche 911 Carrera. That's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get a black on black one. And when I get it, I'm just going to ride around Lake Merritt. And that's all I'm going to do. That's all I want. That's what I got to have. I have to have it because when I get that, that completes me. I was 21 and really stupid. Because I want a thing without a purpose. Where did that thing come from? Nobody in my neighborhood had a 911. I never sat in a Porsche 911. As a matter of fact, I hadn't even sat in a Porsche at all. Where did the desire that I have to have that, where did it come from? Where did that desire that I must have that, where did that come from? It came from where the things in your life that you sometimes pursue come from. And that is a world system that is calling for you to grab things instead of grab purpose. A world system that's crying out for you to experience things or do things or have things. And those things in and of themselves cannot satisfy you or do anything for you. Because I had a friend who had a Pinto. He got to the lake faster than I did catching the bus. So it wasn't the function that was doing something. It's an impression of what something is. And Satan is the master of this universe of creating impressions of things that really are not. That's why we're told that we're supposed to walk by faith so that we are not relying on the seen, because the seen will deceive you. How many of y'all ever seen a magician? A magician, does he have magical powers or does he have a way of doing things that you don't understand? See, somebody's magical powers turn out to just be a way of doing something that you don't know. And so when they do it, you're mystified by how it does it. Guess what? An electrician is a magician because he fixes your lights and you don't know how he did it. Amen. Your mechanic that you had to pay labor to fix your car, he's a magician because he did something you didn't understand and you didn't see how he did it. You drove it, they towed it in and he drove it out. Wow, how'd you do that, man? He had knowledge that you don't have, so he did something that you don't understand. But somehow we don't call him a magician. We call somebody else this magician who's doing stuff that we don't understand. You have to understand the principles are the same. There are principles of things in this world that you don't understand. And if you don't realize there are things that you don't understand, then you'll be mystified or trapped into believing that people have abilities that you don't. Or people have things that can accomplish that you can't accomplish. Or that there's not an anointing on you to do things that other people don't understand. So you have to understand that there's lots of things in this world that are not understood. But if you start to set goals on pursuing things, you will get into a mode in which you will never fully be satisfied. Because things can't satisfy you. Even the pursuit of knowledge cannot satisfy you. Solomon said it like this. He said, I've searched all over, done everything. I've come to this conclusion. It's man's responsibility just to get to know God and enjoy the life God provides. That's what the purpose is. That's what it comes down to. So today I want to take you right now, while you're thinking about what you want next year. What do you want from next year? I want you to go to the book of Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37. Tell your neighbor, say, next year is going to be the best year ever. Mm-hmm. Next year is going to be the best year ever. Let me give y'all some more bad news. Next year is not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. But God. Let's look at this. Psalm 37, verse 1 says, therefore, oops, that's not the right verse. Psalm 37, verse 1 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Actually, I'm reading all kind of stuff here that ain't the Bible. Let me look at my Bible and get the right thing here. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 1 says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. When I found myself desiring a Porsche 911 because I saw one riding down the street, and I don't know how the person got it. I just saw it. I said, wow, look at that. And I heard about the status of it. And as a young man, that's what I wanted. I wanted to live a life of status. I wanted to get to a position in life. I didn't know the penalties or the path that I would have to take to get there. I just saw what I wanted, and I wanted it. Amen? Because I don't know what the person's doing to get it, and I don't have no bearing on it. But sometimes in life, we fret because of what evildoers are doing. People who aren't serving God, people who aren't doing things for God. We start fretting because of them. And we start desiring things that they have, not because it was in our heart to desire, because we just somewhat connect to that image and we want that image. And so we start desiring the image and we start forgetting why we want it. We start just pursuing it. That's why rich people commit suicide at a higher rate than poor people do. Because sometimes you pursue images and you find out the image is empty. And you spend all your time and all your resources trying to get to an image that cannot satisfy you. And you've delayed satisfaction until you could get there. And when you got there, you found out, man, it was a shell. Might as well be playing three-card Monty. I picked left and he was wrong. I got deceived somewhere. Things were getting moved around and now I don't know where the truth is. Look at verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. In other words, this world is not going to last forever. Everything everybody's proud about right now is not going to survive. Do you know that there were people who were very, very rich in 2006 and were homeless in 2009? I'm not talking about people who work every day. I'm talking about people who don't have to work because they got so much stuff. In a 3-year window, they went from being on top of the world to being homeless. You know why? Because their stuff was built on the world system. Now, we live in the world system. You have to have stuff, but you can't trust your stuff. Amen? If you go into 2018 trying to trust your stuff, I'm telling you now there's going to be a problem somewhere along the line. I know people who lost their identities during that time of season because their identity was in their stuff. And when they lost the stuff, they lost their identity. I know people who gave up on life in that window of time because they lost stuff and they had not built a foundation on what's real. So 2018 is going to be the best year ever because we're not going to build on sand. Amen. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I gave my life to Jesus in 1986, and then later in that year, I read this passage and I said, Lord, I want the desires of my heart. So what I'm going to do right now, Lord, I'm going to pray and I'm going to keep praying because this word says, delight myself in you and you will give me the desires of my heart. So right now, I'm going to pray for everybody. And this is how I actually became a prayer warrior. This is what happened to me. I was being so selfish, saved, but selfish. Tell your neighbor, say, you can be saved and still be selfish. Amen. You can. Amen. I want God to give me the desires of my heart. So I see that the word says this is the pathway to get there. I need to delight myself in the Lord and he will give me the desires of my heart. So with no good intention except me, I started praying for others. And I started interceding for others out of prayer because I had this little book that said you should pray for others before you pray for yourself. So I said, okay, well, that's how I'm supposed to pray. So I guess that's what I do. So I started praying for others. And I started praying for other people's needs. I started praying for those things. And then I pray for myself. So I'd have this good prayer about everybody else. And then I'd close my eyes and say, Lord, and now I want a Porsche 911 Carrera. And I continued on and on and on for months. I'm doing this because I really want to delight myself in the Lord. I want to do the right thing. In other words, there's something in me that wants the right thing, but there's a bunch of stuff in me that's cloudy and foolish. In my heart, I've given my life to Jesus. I really want the best, except my mind has not been renewed, and I've been living in an unrenewed mind and I don't realize how unrenewed I actually am. Because I think I'm a good guy. So I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying. And then one night I went to pray that same prayer and I went to ask for that same thing. And the Holy Spirit activated in my soul. And he erased that image. I'm sitting there praying and I keep trying to bring the image in my mind. I can't. It keeps scattering every time I do it. And then God showed me something really simple. And I said, wow, I didn't want that. What I actually wanted was this. Because in praying for others and starting to delight myself in the Lord and praise God and be a worshiper and do what God had asked me to do as far as participating with him, all of a sudden he began, through my consistency of doing that, began erasing false images in my mind that I didn't even know were false. And when he erased the false images, he revealed the true desire of my heart. Guess what? Some of the things we want are not even really our desire. Some of the things we want are really not what we desire. They're things that we've been programmed to want or programmed to think that these are the right things. And we pursue those things. I know people who started college and they were going to be an X because X makes a lot of money. And they went that place and they racked up a bunch of student loans and they got master's degrees in X only to find out what I really want to be is a gardener. Y'all think I'm joking. I have somebody, a friend of mine, who went to college. They went to Brown University, an Ivy League college. They went and got a bachelor's and a master's degree. Then they came to the Bay Area, got another degree from San Francisco State at a graduate level, and started trying to work in that area, and then decided, forget this, I am going to be a gardener. Now they shifted into a landscape architect, but it's a gardener. I have a master's degree, so I'm not just going to call myself a gardener. I'm a landscape architect. But I do gardening. Because they pursued something. They pursued an image, but the image is not the truth. How do you get rid of false images in your mind? There's only one way. You have to open yourself to transformation. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Wow. If you can get your mind renewed, you can find the real you. If you want 2018 to count, you got to find the real you. Don't go into 2018 trying to be what the devil is trying to design you to be. Go into 2018, made up your mind. I'm going to delight myself in the Lord, and I'm going to allow God to then bring the desires of my heart into my life. Man. Tell your neighbor, say, I think I'm going to get some stuff. Because I'm going to delight in the Lord. I'm here to tell you that it works because I was wrong when I did it, but I did the right thing. And God blessed it. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbors, I'm excited about this. Come on, I need y'all to get happy about seeing God do some good stuff in your life. Amen. Amen. Listen, let's look at verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to what? He shall bring it to pass. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Most of us, if you're honest, one of the things that we're always concerned about is if we really give our life all the way to God, that it's going to cost you something. And it is. It's going to cost you something to give your life totally to God. But once you've given your life totally to God, what you're going to find out is that he will strip all the junk off of you. And he will then release the true desire of your heart. Amen? Amen? Amen. I know a man who wanted to marry Halle Berry. Y'all think it's more to the story than that, huh? You know, no, he wanted to marry. Trust in the Lord. He wanted somebody who has an image of a certain thing. But then he found somebody, and guess what? It's the desire of his heart. And she don't look like Halle Berry. Y'all know, y'all ladies, I ain't leaving y'all out. Someone wanted to be with Boris Kodjo or somebody like that. This ain't the Boris Kodjo crowd, apparently. They said, give us another image. Shamar Moore? Idris Elba, they shout names now. Now we're getting in the right place. All right. Here we go. But those are images that we don't know what's behind them. And God wants to give you the substance and not the image. Amen? Listen, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. First thing I want you to understand is that you can have anything. Psalms 84 says, the Lord God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold for them to walk upright before him. First thing you have to understand is God is not trying to hold anything back from us. God wants to give us the kingdom. Jesus said this. He said, guess what? I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. If I give you keys, it means you have access. Over the course of the years that we've lived in the house we lived in, there have been various people who have had keys to our house who could come in whenever they wanted to. You know why? We gave them access. We didn't give them rules that you know what, come in, but don't go upstairs. Come in, but don't do this. No, here's a key. You have access. If you want to go in the refrigerator, go in the refrigerator. If you want to go in the snack cabinet, go in the snack cabinet. If you want to watch TV, turn it on. You have access. If I give you a key, I give you access to everything. First thing we have to remember is that God is not trying to withhold access. This is part of renewing our mind. Part of our renewing of our mind means that we have to figure out God is not trying to prevent you from being blessed. God is not trying to hold back you from being blessed. God's not trying to hold you in penalty or in problems or in error or in challenge. He's not trying to hold you down because he's God. Because how does God get glorified from us when we're downtrodden? But see, religion teaches us that God is trying to hold us down. Religious teaches us that God's going to get us one day. Religious teaches us all those things about God that aren't true because they don't say that in the Word. Adam and Eve did, listen to this, check this out. Adam and Eve, God pushed out of the garden. He ran them out of the garden. He said, see, that's what I'm talking about. God will run you out. But why did he run them out? He ran them out lest they should stay in a condemned state forever. In other words, even the evil that it seems like is being done, God says, nope, I have good in mind for you. That's why in the book of Jeremiah got the revelation from God. He said, man, you know what God said? God said, I know the plans I have for you. I got plans for good and not for evil to give you a future and a hope. That's what my hope is for you. And he said, man, I got to write this down, what God said. God said he has plans for good for me and not for evil. Tell your neighbor, say, God's plan for 2018 for my life is good and not evil. Come on, I need some smiles in the house or something, man. Come on. God's plan is not for evil for you. God's plan is for good for you. But you must understand that if God has a plan for you, you need to follow his plan and not your plan. See, I followed my plan, and my plan led me to have to find Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Sometimes you own your own plan. My plan was there ain't no God, so I'll do whatever I choose, whatever I feel like doing. If I'm mad today, then I'll go have a fight. If I'm happy today, then I'll go have a party. Whatever, that's how I'm going to live. But that path was a path of destruction. And eventually God had to come get me. But he gets us in the form of sending relationships to us and people who come into our life to give us the gospel. People who are anointed with a ministry of reconciliation because they have found God's path and willing to walk on it. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You guys know this one. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? You want to have a new you next year? Become a new creation. See, if you become a resolution maker, that's different than becoming a new creation. But this is what he says. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Let me tell you about something about this language here. If someone is in Christ, you're in him, you're in Christ, you are a new creation. It sounds like that happens one time. But the way that the language is in the Greek there is he is a new creation is a constant. It's not that one day I became a new creation and that was it. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That means I was a new creation on the day I gave my life to Jesus. I'm a new creation today. Somebody should be happy about that, because you might have made a mistake yesterday that you feel like you can't get over, or you can't overcome, or that you did something when you've been saved that has eliminated you from being able to go where God has called you to go. You disqualified yourself. And, well, you know, I was married and I got a divorce and maybe I can't be what God's called me to do. Lie from hell. You need to go to God. You need to get it right with God and then become a new creation. And then old things have passed away. Look at the rest of it. Old things have passed away. Amen. Old things, the mistake you made yesterday passed away because you're a new creation today. Come on, my errors or my faults or my flaws, what I did yesterday, it's not with me today, because today I'm in today. I'm not in yesterday. Yesterday's past, so yesterday is gone. Amen. So the enemy does not have a right to then come and bring me yesterday's news and tell me that I'm not capable or qualified to follow God today. Amen. Y'all remember a woman by the name of Vanity, who used to be known as Vanity? Amen? Denise Matthews. A friend of mine got to know her, and he was sharing with me one day. He said, a lot of people can't put that name behind her. And they want to remember that personality, that character that they came to know. He said, but I didn't know her then, so I know her now as this. And he was trying to date her and everything else, but that's another story. Anyway, he said, she has to continue to recognize who she is today and not let people drag her into who she used to be, because she's a new creation. Amen? It's the same thing for you. You had whatever you had a reputation, you had something else, you had mistakes, flaws, fault, sin in your life, whatever it was, but today, if you're in Christ today, you're a new creation. Amen? You should not never one day live guilty if you've gone to God and said, God, this is what I did. You should be able to, when you say, God, I'm releasing this. This is what I was yesterday. This is what I did yesterday. You should never the next day feel condemned, because the enemy wants to condemn you, and he will send people to your house to remind you who you used to be. I went to my one of my class reunions, and somebody brought up an old story, and I said, whoa, don't tell that story. Not because I'm ashamed of the story. I know it was wrong. I did it. But you're not going to drag me back there. I'm not going back there to glorify some foolishness that I did in the past and have that reputation today. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to glory in what I used to do. Because sometimes we start telling old stories and we feel proud of ourselves. We start smelling that old fragrance and we start, whoa, man, I like that old cologne. Let me spray some more on me. No, no. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. How are you going to make 2018 a better year? The first thing you're going to do is recognize you're new. New year means new you. You're not who you used to be. So what you procrastinated last year, who cares? That'll mean you're going to procrastinate this year. So what you failed on your goals, all your goals are written down. You had them all written. You had them in a binder and you had them all. And then you plastered them on your wall and everything. You didn't do them. So what? This is a new year.
That's right. Come on,
Pastor. Matter of fact, when I hit February, I'm still going to be new. When I hit March, April, May, June, I'm still going to be new. Amen? I'm new right now. I'm going to be new when I wake up tomorrow. Guess what? I'm new again right now. See? Every minute that passes, every second that passes, you're a new creation. You are a new creation, and if you can get that revelation in your heart and in your mind, you will cancel most of the devil's lies he has tried to hold you with in the past. I had a friend who was a prostitute, and she was always worried about somebody finding out. And then somebody found out. Somebody in her circle found out. And you know what she found out? Didn't nobody care. I spent all them years trying to hide a secret, trying to keep the secret hidden, because if people find out, people found out and they didn't even care. Why? Because she had created a new identity. And instead of being ashamed, it was a testimony. Come on, y'all. Instead of being shameful, it's a testimony. It's a story of victory of what I used to be that I no longer am and how God has done a new thing in my life. Come on, that's what this is. This is about being new. New year doesn't have to be a bunch of stories that we're going to tell, everything we're going to do. Forget all that. Just be you, the new you. Look at this. Look at this. I'm going to blow your mind in a minute. Verse 18. Now all things are of God. Go back to verse 17. I want you to look at this. Look at what it says. Look at the very last sentence. Behold, all things have become new. Here's what happens. People get saved. We think some things became new and some things did not. Well, my soul is new. My spirit's new. But I. Sometimes we think things are beyond God's grasp to transform or to change. Sometimes we believe that all things don't become new. But this says all things have become new. And when you allow yourself to be the new creation, not only those things become new, they become, next verse, of God. New things of God. When I gave my life to Jesus, I didn't know anything about God because I had canceled all that out of my mind. So I had to learn anew, and I had to let God start to give me a new impression, a new image of who I was, because what I knew of religion before, God was not transforming people. We were just going to church on Sunday. We're holy on Sunday, hellish on Monday, harmful on Tuesday, bad on Wednesday. And you can go down the list about whatever else it was. But when Sunday morning came, we're going to be holy again. Because religion that I was taught only taught us Sunday. We give God our Sunday, and then we do what we want to do Monday through Saturday. And we got in all kind of trouble and foolishness, and we got into all kinds of religious foolery because we didn't understand God is not limited to a day of the week. God is not restricted. Guess what? If you had an accident or you had something go wrong, you called on Jesus on Wednesday. But you weren't determined to serve him on Wednesday. Because we rejected God's lordship except on one day of the week. Hope y'all understand what I'm telling you. New creation means a new nature all the time. A new change all the time. I'm holy today. I'm holy in this moment. I'm holy next moment. I'm going to be holy all the time. If I make a mistake, I'm going to go to God. I'm going to be restored to holiness. And that's what God does in your life. Here's what God is calling us to do. Look at the next verse. Verse 18 again. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry of reconciliation? The ministry of reconciliation is us being reconciled to God. The Bible teaches really clearly that our sins and our lawless deed have separated us from God. Amen? So when we receive Jesus, we are reunited. We're restored. We're redeemed. We are reconciled to God. God, who we couldn't deal with before, we can deal directly with God. I don't have to have an intermediary besides the blood of Jesus. I don't have to have you go to the throne for me. I don't have to, if something goes wrong in my life, I don't have to call 25 people to get them to pray. Now, hopefully they hear and they pray out of love for me. But I don't have to get them to pray because I have as much access to the throne as anybody else in the room. And you have as much access to the throne of God as anybody else in the room. And it doesn't make a difference how long you've known God. It just makes a difference. Did you say yes to God? When you say yes to God and you became a new creation, all things became new. And what that means? That means you immediately gain access by being reconciled to God, to all of God. You don't just get access to a portion of God. You don't just get access to just some of God. You get access to all of who God is. And what that means for you is, it means that you can come before the throne of grace not feeling condemned, not feeling like maybe God will hear me and maybe God won't. Any of us who have ever been in a challenging space have maybe thought to yourself, I wonder if God hears me. I'm not where I'm supposed to be, so I wonder if God hears me right now. It's because you're in the wrong place don't mean your father don't hear you. Even if your father got to spank you, don't mean he don't hear you. Even if the world is happening around you, things going wrong, it don't mean God doesn't hear you. But the fact of the matter is that what the enemy comes to do is persuade you that God is not listening to you. And when you believe God's not listening, then we decide we will just do what we want to do. Listen, look at the next verse, verse 19. Now all that is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. God does not impute your trespasses against you when you're in Christ. Now, Paul had to say this. Does that mean that because grace is there, that we should go ahead and sin in order for grace to be used? We don't waste the grace. You know, we got grace, so let's just sin because we've already got this grace. We don't want it to be wasted. He said, God forbid. That's not what you do. But you have grace as your understanding that no matter what you do, you didn't earn it. So you can't lose it. Amen. I had a man I was ministering to one time. He was in a recovery home, and he kind of fell back into some drug usage. And when he fell back, I saw him one day, and we ended up having a conversation. He said, man, I'll come back to church, but I can't come back to church until I get everything straight because nobody don't want to see me at church. I said, that's not true. I said, you need to come to church. So we can arc our arms around you and help you get straight. See, if you could have did it by yourself, you should have did it by yourself. But you didn't. That's why you're still out there. And that's what happens when we make those resolutions. We're going to make all these resolutions. We're going to do something. If you was going to do it, you could have did it. But you can't do it. Amen. Because you're still trying to do it on your own and not recognize, man, in fact, God is with me. God's with me. God's got me in this matter. I don't have to try to make all these promises to myself and to everybody else about what I'm going to do. I can actually just say, thank you, Lord. Listen to his voice and obey. And if I obey and delight myself in God, then he will give me the desires of my heart. Amen. If you can delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. I'm going to tell you how you're going to get strong in the things of God. When this says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, what it's talking about is, it's talking about the love of God. It's talking about the fact that we said last week that Jesus came fully as God and fully as man. That he came in the form of flesh, being fully God. In that form, what he did was that he went through life to the point of the cross. And when he got to the point of the cross, he made a choice. And the choice laid before him is, does he live for himself? Which he has the power to do because he's God. Or does he give his life for others? for others who are mocking him, for the others who are saying, if you're really God, let me see you do something different. Right. Heal yourself, physician. You healed everybody else. Let me see you heal yourself. Come down off that cross. If you're so God and you're so man, do something about your circumstance. Do something to change where you are. Do something right now. And even through all of that and having a weight of sin and death on him, he on the cross, so under pressure for what he's dying for, that he screams out, Father, why have you forsaken me? Man, I never understood it until all of a sudden God started to tell me, son, he was bearing your weight. He's on the cross hanging your weight. He's on the cross with everybody's weight all on him. And because it's all on him, he's saying, God, I'm feeling this pressure. Why are you not here right now? Because that's how we feel when we're under the pressure of sin. Where is God? So when he starts experiencing your feelings, all of a sudden, God's not with me. Where did God go? It's the weight of sin. But God is saying, no, I want to now use him to lift this off of you and make you a new creation. And you should so be able to embrace the reality of your new creation that it drives you to minister to others the way he's ministered to you. First thing God's asking us to do is to become a lover of him. Realizing what Jesus did for me. What did Jesus do for me? See, if you don't get to that point, you can't go any further. Amen. If you can't get to the point where you say, I understand what God has done for me. I understand. That's why you can't believe the world telling you that you were born perfect, because you weren't. Because there's a whole bunch of people blaming their parents for their condition, not realizing you was born a sinner. Yes. I hope y'all with me. I know it's hot in here, but I hope y'all stay with me. First things first, if you don't believe that you were born a sinner, then you don't think God's done anything for you. You don't believe in your own redemption. If you think you was born beautiful, sweet, perfect, then what do you need a savior for? That's why the world's trying to get you confused. That's why psychology is trying to move you to think that your parents are the subject of your problem and not you yourself. It'd be great if I could blame everybody else for my problems. And I would feel so much better. But we avoid guilt because we don't understand that guilt is the thing that God uses in order to bring you to redemption. Guilt is what he lays and allows you to be aware of a penalty of something so that he can then have you appreciate redemption when it comes. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 again. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, as committed to us the word of reconciliation. When you give your life to God, the first thing he does is give you a new identity. You are a new person in Christ. Tell your neighbor, say, I am a new identity. I'm not who I was yesterday. I'm who God says I am today. First thing God does is give you a new creation. When you look through the Bible, you find out God gives people names. He changes some people's names. Abram, you're no longer be going Abram. I'm going to call you Abraham. And your wife, you've been calling Sarai. Her name is Sarah. Why? I need to change your name because you need to know you're not who you were yesterday when I showed up. I'm not who I used to be when God showed up. When God showed up, I've been changed. I'm not who I used to be. And you need to be able to embrace the fact that you have a new identity. You're not who you used to be. Guess what? Even as a Christian, today you're not who you were yesterday. I don't care if you've been saved for 30 years. Today, you need to be a new person. The second thing is, once you get a new identity, you need to become a worshiper. You need to be able to say, God gave me a new identity. So you know what? I'm going to worship God. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to give God praise. I'm going to lift his name. I'm going to brag about who God is and what God has done in my life. I become a worshiper. Our purpose in life is to wrap your new identity and your worship together to one thing, and that is love. See, the Bible teaches us that God is love. And because God is love, then what happens in God being love is that when we become a new identity, identified with Christ, all of a sudden love is on us. And then when love is on us and we begin to worship God and honor God, what should happen in your spirit is not only do you elevate God, because now you're connected to God, you become elevated. When you start to recognize and become a worshiper of God, and you find out and you recognize not only is God with me, he's in me, and when I lift him up, I'm lifting myself up. When I start to lift up God, I start to get lifted up. And when I do that, then all of a sudden, I don't see things the way I used to see them anymore. I used to see myself in bondage. Now I see I'm superior to whatever's trying to hold me. Huh. I used to be a victim to my circumstances. And guess what? Now I realize my circumstances are under my feet. When I used to think of myself as being under pressure, I realized the pressure that's on me is just a weight that's meant for me to lift up off of other people who can't lift it up for themselves. So when we sing a stronger, stronger, I'm getting stronger. The joy of the Lord, it makes me stronger. What's happening? I'm getting powerful because God is in me, lifting me up. Because I became a worshiper. I started worshiping God. That's why no matter what environment you go in, if you go into an environment really worshiping, you change the atmosphere no matter where you go. Because worship is a celebration of God's presence with us. And when we learn how to worship, you go into 2018 as a worshiper, you will change everything around you. But our purpose is to love. First, love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Can we love God? Can we really release ourselves to God and become worshipers of the Most High God? If we can become worshipers and love God, then what happens automatically is when you start to love God at a high level and worship God at a high level, it triggers your love for other people. Unfortunately, some of my teaching had me learning to worship God to get out of my circumstances, and then it didn't teach me the next level. It taught me how to worship God to get pressure, get the room changed, but it didn't teach me the next thing about now that worship should now empower you to step into other people's lives and speak life to them. To walk into people's environments and speak the power of God and let the power of God through your praise and through your worship and through what's coming out of you change other people's lives. That's why he says here that when you become a new creation, what's going to happen to you is God is laying in your hands the ministry of reconciliation. Because as you become a worshiper, you start to get people reconciled to God. Look at the next verse, verse 20. Verse 20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, as we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. By him. That's Colossians. So 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You want your life to be changed? Make up your mind to know God as a worshiper, and start to allow the love of God to pour out of you into other people's lives. Not preaching to them, loving them. When you love people, your love will preach. Your love will preach messages you can't preach. Your love will speak to ways in that you can't give to people. When you love on people, when you start to do that, and love isn't just being nice to people. Love means you speak the truth to people. And sometimes you'll speak the truth to people and they will hate it when you speak it. And then it'll be 5 years later and they'll say, you know what? You spoke the truth to me. Because the truth doesn't just work immediately. The truth's got to work its way down inside. And once it works its way down inside, it's going to have some effect. Amen? Because the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. But first, the truth comes and it hurts. First, the truth comes and it makes you uncomfortable. First, the truth comes and you don't want to receive it. First, the truth comes and you fight it or resist it. But then when the truth sets in, it starts to set you free from the inside, because there's a devil who's real, who's always whispering in your mind and telling you, you don't need God, you need a 9/11. You know what happens in church a lot of times? In church a lot of times, we get into positions where we haven't fully embraced what God wants for us. But what God wants for us is to be so consumed with the love of God that we start to move into the one thing he has as a purpose for us. And that is to love. The one thing God has a purpose for. I went through the Bible and I started looking at things, and ultimately, when it talks about the Great Commission, going to all the world, preach the gospel to all creatures, if you don't go in love, you ain't going. Amen. And I read about being transformed by the renewing of your mind and might prove the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Then when I read further, you know what it says? It starts talking about spiritual gifts that you're supposed to give to other people. And then I realize that when I read further in the same passage, I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, rather, and I read about spiritual gifts, and I say, wow, okay, my purpose is getting my spiritual gifts in order. And then I read right behind that, chapter 13 says, walk in love. And then when I get on the other side, it goes right back to talking spiritual gifts again, because even if you have gifts, you had to have love operating through it. You want to make 2018 the best year you ever had? Then guess what? Stop pursuing anything else. Pursue love. Turn your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 14. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians 14 says this, the very first verse. Pursue love. And desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. To prophesy is to speak life over others. Here's the biggest thing, biggest thing. 2018, some people are going to pursue purpose. Some people are going to pursue money, going to pursue resources. Some people are going to pursue all kinds of things. My advice to you is to drop all those things, pursue one thing and one thing alone. You pursue God and His love. You pursue God and His love. Put yourself fully in the love of God. Pursue God and His love. And when you pursue God and put yourself in there, then what we read in the book of Psalm chapter 37 is going to come alive. And that is when you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says that we should pursue what? Y'all know what it says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will get added to you. Seek God. Seek God. Seek God only. Because let me tell you something right now, the truth. America, Christians in America, we have sought political power and it has betrayed us. We sought commercial power and it rolled us. We sought all kinds of things. We've sought relationships. We sought all kinds of things. We looked for lots of things to make us happy in our Christian walks. And they have failed us all because they are the one thing. There's only one thing, rather, that really satisfies the human soul. And that is to be saturated with the presence of God. The only truly satisfied place you can find in this world is to be fully under the presence of God. And when you get fully under the presence of God, then all of a sudden, nothing else matters. That's why when we press into worship and we really start to press in corporately, you feel the presence. It's not a new presence. It's just the presence that happens when two or three are gathered in His name. When we're really gathered in the name of the Lord. Saints, I said to begin with, the bad news is this year is going to be challenging for a lot of people. Because the world is in a bad state. But fear not, for He's with you. You need to not fear, but you need to dip deeper into the things of God. You need to press further into the things of God. You got to press further, look closer for the presence of God. Dig deeper, get further into your word, get further into your prayers. Take that time to honor God and watch how He honors the other things with you. As a church, all we're going to focus on is drawing near to God. All we're going to focus on is drawing near to God. Drawing near to God is going to make us do other things, but we're going to keep our focus on drawing near. Drawing near to God. Drawing near to His presence. Letting His presence be manifested. Letting His presence be manifested. We're going to pray, and before we pray, I'm going to tell you one last thing here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's going to be a calling. The calling that God is putting forward is a calling that is not like normal. When we say calling, we usually talk about the fact that, okay, God is with us, we want to do church. But the calling that's coming is a calling that is going to require Christians to make decisions that they don't want to make. It's going to require Christians to make a lot of decisions they don't want to make. And the enemy is his trap to us is to get us to pursue things that are not God's voice. And not because of anything except he needs us to be off balance. The enemy needs us to be off balance. He needs us to not be focused. He needs us to be kind of caught in the things that don't matter when it comes to God's presence. And I'm saying that because it's not a New Year issue. It's a new creation issue. And that you have to recognize every moment that you're a new creation. You cannot let your guard down and start just living on what you were yesterday. Every day has to be the new creation. Every day has to be the recognition, I am new in Christ. It's a new me today. It's a new me today. Because otherwise, everything else will call to you. There's a season of confusion coming on the earth, saints. And I'm not talking, this is not me talking, I'm telling you. There's a season of confusion that's coming on the earth. It's a season of confusion like nobody's ever seen. I'm telling you right now, there's a season of confusion that is coming on the earth. And you have to be a worshiper to not be caught into the whirlwind that is coming. I'm telling you right now, I'm not playing with you. I'm telling you, there is a season of confusion that is coming on the earth. And you have to be a worshiper. You have to be caught into true worship, not singing of songs. You have to be a heart worshiper of God to stand in the day, because the love of many people is going to wax cold in this season, because the spirit of confusion is going to have them pursuing things that are not God. You must become a worshiper. You must not take your eyes off of your new creation reality. This morning I woke up that word, new creation reality. New creation reality. Because the Spirit was saying you have to have the reality of your new creation as your focus point. The devil's not your problem in this season. Indeed, you've been given power and authority over the enemy. The enemy's been placed under your feet. You must know that you're a new creation. You must know that your purpose is to love. You've been created to love. Your purpose is to love. Your only purpose is to love. You have no other purpose. Your purpose is to love. The only purpose you have is love. Your only purpose that you have is to love. There is no other purpose. Love is your purpose. That's the only purpose that you have. You have no other purpose. You have no other purpose but to love. You're a new creation. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything's become new. I have given you the Holy Spirit for you to forgive. I pour out my spirit on all flesh so that my flesh may have forgiveness. My body may forgive those that have wronged you, those who have compromised you, those who have come against you, that you are able to forgive because you have no other purpose but to love. You have no other purpose but to love. You have no other purpose but to love. You don't have another purpose. Your only purpose is to love. You're a new creation and your only purpose is to love. You are a new creation and your only purpose is to love. You are a new creation in Christ and your only purpose is to love. I have given you the ministry of reconciliation because you have no other purpose but to love. Your only purpose that I've called you for, your only purpose that you have called you for. I've given you gifts, I've given you talents, I've given you abilities, but they are not your purpose. Your purpose is to love. You are a new creation. You are a new creation. Let's pray. You gotta pray right now.
Praise God and thanks for listening. Today's message was titled New Year, New Me. For more information about Abundant Life Worship Center, please feel free to check out our website at alwc.us. On our site, you'll find more information about us, our church and events calendar, and other messages that may be of interest to you. Once again, the site is alwc.us. You can also find us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/abundantlifeworship.net. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you on our next podcast. Until then, remember that Jesus came to give you life, and that more abundantly.